The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I see him in the shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with David Kaplan, John the Hood with you, we got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you for a three-hour ride. This is hour two, and at 8 o'clock every day, we give you Shot or No Shot. And it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Today and tomorrow is the Breeders' Cup, so download that Club Hawthorne app and play the ponies with me. We say good morning to Snorling. Where's my secretariat? I don't get to say hi.
Good morning, boys. There he is.
They both come in at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay was riding the horse.
Yeah,
that's how I strategize that. Good morning, Hoodie. It is such a pleasure to see you again. I want to thank everybody who filled in for you, Courtney, Dion, and of course, Connor McKnight. Mm-hmm. But what a pleasure to see your face again this morning. And I'm glad that the Indiana Dunes did not take too much of a toll on
it. Yeah, well, I mean, the sun's just beaming there in the Indiana Dunes. So, listen.
A little hiking.
Yeah.
An igloo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I heard about the igloo at the Sandpiper, I got a little nervous about your well-being.
It's so ridiculous. The Indiana. You know, maybe I'll stop there one day. Not anytime soon, but one day.
Exactly.
I'll stop in there.
I've never been.
All right, Shay, what do you have here?
All right, let's start with the Bears. The next three weekends, we'll see the Bears play three of the NFL's worst pass defenses in the Dolphins, who rank 26th, the Lions 27th, and the Falcons, who are dead last in terms of pass defense. The Bears went out and got Justin Fields some help. They added Chase Claypool to the receiving corps, and they also look to get healthy with Cody Whitehair and Byron Pringle returning to action as soon as this Sunday. So shot or no shot with the strength of opponent, November will be Justin Fields' breakout month.
That's a shot. They are the most improved defense in the National Football, improved offense in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
That is a shot. I think Justin will have an outstanding finish to his season. Just keep him healthy.
I would say shot as well. And I'm glad that you laid it out that way as far as what's happening defensively with the opponents that the Bears will face. Shay, I think that it should be, especially if he's blessed with good health, an opportunity to Fields to show what he can do. Again, wins and losses to the side. I just want to see what Fields can do. And if the wins come that way as well, I'm all for it.
This is really his moment, right? So, like, maybe an impromptu shot or no shot. This is the feast or famine moment for Justin Fields. Like, shot or no shot, sink or swim.
That's a shot. That to me, because of the teams that you laid out, I say you have an opportunity here. Now that you have an added addition with Claypool and all the Bears sound that I'm hearing, they're pretty happy with it, including Darnell Mooney, including Getsy, the offensive coordinator. So, yeah, this is a sink or swim opportunity. So that is a shot for me.
Shay.
All right. The Bear probably most excited about the addition of Chase Claypool.
No.
Surprisingly, it might have been Darnell Mooney. Listen to this.
Likewise with that. I mean, anything that we can do, you know, to make things, you know, great for both of us, that would be very nice, you know, I can open some things up for him. He can open some things up for me and just be, you know, a natural and great looking thing, you know. So I guess we can start thinking of some nicknames or whatever and get things rolling.
Mooney may not have been the number one productive receiver that we expected him to be, but he's been really the key for every defense that they've played so far. The addition of a big body vertical threat in Claypool should make it harder for defenses to key in on Mooney so heavily. So, shot or no shot, this trade is as much about helping Mooney prove he can be a top receiver as it is Fields proving he's a franchise quarterback.
I think that's a shot in a way, isn't it, Cap? There's a shot. I think there's a slight shot for that.
Yes.
That pushes Mooney somewhat.
I still need to see a number one here. I don't think we have that guy.
No.
But if you told me, I'm not saying him, but that type, A.J. Brown's here with Mooney and Chase Claypool. Now, okay, game on.
At least it's a number one.
Yes.
You can identify that.
Now I got three guys I can target.
Yeah.
So that's Smith, Marsette.
Well, I mean, listen, Pettis needs to be gone. St. Brown, those are not receivers.
No.
Now, again, I would say slightly shot to your question, Shea, but at the same time, between now and the end of the season, I want to see if Velus Jones Jr. can make can pay some dividends here in the receiving game, in the passing game. Can he do that? Can he be a wide receiver? Is he a guy or no?
Well, the throw that he made, I'm talking about Justin, to Velus Jones down the right sideline toward the goal line, he dropped it.
Correct.
That ball was perfectly thrown. I mean, perfectly thrown. You could not have... He put air under it. It floated down into his hands. Oh, he dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Hmm. If he doesn't do something in the passing game, I mean, multiple games, Cap, I'm going to have questions about that. I know he's a rookie like some of these other guys
in
this
25.
Roster. Well, I mean, yes. He started late. Those guys in school, by the way, that would start late or be held back.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he was sixth grade a couple times.
I had a couple of those in my school.
Mm-hmm.
One was kind of like the class bully.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I'm only 9 and you're 14.
In class with me.
Yes.
Not because there's something wrong with the kid. It's because the kid was not smart and was just a bully and not paying attention in class.
Correct.
Yeah, so number of those. Then it was the smart kids. Used to have those skips, you know. Someone would be in third grade, all of a sudden they're in fifth.
Right.
Is that in your class? Was that in your school back in the day?
It wasn't me, but I had someone that was like that. Yes.
Yeah,
yes. My brother actually had an opportunity to be skipped, and my mom and dad said, absolutely not.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's a genius.
Cap, I also had an opportunity to do that, and my parents also said no. My elementary school asked my mom, would you like to put your son in the talented and gifted program? And she's like, no, get made fun of.
Wow.
Detroit, man.
Mom's looking out.
That's tough, man.
Keep him with the regular kids. Keep him with the dumb kids.
Where'd you go?
Let him shine among the dummies.
Where'd you go? Detroit Cody? Detroit McKenzie? Which one?
No, Royal Oak.
Oh, sorry.
I was in the suburbs.
Yeah, he's in Lake Forest.
This guy thought there. I went to Cass Tech, Cody. Can you hear this?
Hey, I recruited all those schools.
That's just funny, man. They used to call it, Cap, do you remember? They used to call it a double. Right, if you go from third to fifth, oh, you made a double. That's what we called it at public schools when I was going.
When you jumped.
Yeah, you made that jump from, like, wait, this guy's, he's in the fifth grade?
Right.
But you're my age. How'd you, oh, you're a genius. Yeah, it's just weird. But, again, Shea, smart
gifted.
Guy. Yeah,
gifted.
Gifted, absolutely.
Right. I hope that starts showing itself. Go ahead,
oh!
Shea.
Oh,
wow. All right. Yesterday, Rick Hahn introduced Pedro Grifol as the new manager of the Chicago White Sox. The press conference, we aired it here on our air, was thick with passive aggressiveness. I mean, Hahn was reveling in the introduction of a manager that he was allowed to handpick. My question, shot or no shot? It's a good thing going forward next season that Rick Hahn seems to have full control of the reins of the White Sox.
Yeah, that's a shot. I love Rick. I'm a big Rick Hahn fan. I think he's proven that he can acquire talent. That said, he's got work to do. That roster needs fixing. They got too many first baseman DH that are playing key roles, whether that's Aloy, Andrew Vaughn, Jose Abreu. Yeah, they got to get some things fixed.
Well, listen.
But I like Rick.
I'll stick to what I said during the season to you, and that I said, if Tony is no longer be the manager, doesn't matter who the manager is. They picked up Pedro Grifol, and I think that's great that he's part of the team. Pedro
Grifol.
I think Grifol could be a nice pickup for this team, but the whole thing, Cap, for me is that it's about Rick Hahn. It's about the talent. You can hire whoever you like.
Roster construction.
If you don't fix that roster, I don't care who's leading him. I'm glad that he's got his opportunity to be a manager for this team, but Grifol is not the number one thing I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is how this roster will be constructed. I love that Hahn was pretty much telling Pedro, hey, we want to play with an edge, because that's how the Sox are built, right? Kenny, Hahn, they're built with an edge, so they want the team to be built with an edge. Well, you could tell Pedro that, but I don't know if that's the kind of team that you're going to build. You want players with edge? Acquire them. Put them on the roster.
Agreed.
So I
agree. 100%.
So I got it. I was watching, and I saw what was saying. But let me tell you something, Cap. Grifol, La Russa, doesn't matter.
Grifol.
Who is it?
Pedro Grifol. G-R-I-F-O-L. There's no T in there.
It's not?
No.
Hmm.
Who knew?
Hmm.
Shay.
Hold on. It's not in my notes. Hmm. Go ahead.
All right, I have a question about the World Series. The all-important World Series Game 5 was last night. The Astros had a 3-2 victory to take a 3-2 lead in the series. Justin Verlander finally got his first win in a World Series start. Much of the narrative around this game surrounded his legacy. So my question, shot or no shot, Verlander needed last night's World Series win to be cemented as one of the all-time greats.
He was one of the all-time greats before this. It just would have been a footnote in his career. But it adds to the resume for sure. And by the way, my man here with the Tom Selleck hat today, with his Detroit Tigers hat, got a good feeling for Verlander yesterday?
You know, I didn't watch because I was at Carmen's event, but it's nice to see him finally get the win. It would have been nice if he did it while he also wore the Tom Selleck hat.
Yeah. That's a Tiger,
you know,
yes.
Instead of maybe giving up three blasts to Pablo Sandoval, the panda, you could have won that game. That would have been nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are people out there, I don't know about Clayton Kershaw. He hasn't been great. Stop. He's one of the greatest pitchers to ever play. Same with Verlander. And I'm glad he pitched well last night. Quieted all the idiots.
We can check off a box pretty soon here, Cap. If Dusty can get it done, good for him.
Yeah, and that will mean Danny and Sylvie, you could stop with your he's not a Hall of Famer stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Well, if he doesn't win, he's a Hall of Famer.
Agreed, so, but this will quiet them.
Oh, absolutely. It just, for us, for those of us that like Dusty, and I was quoted in an article from Anscape.com written by Clinton Yates from ESPN. He asked me my thoughts on Dusty. I go, you could draw a line of demarcation from Bartman to the demise of Dusty in this town. For that game, that game six, right?
No doubt.
From that time, all of a sudden, now the Cubs are unlikable. Now they're against Steve Stone and Chip Carey. Now it's a bunch of dugout rogues that no one likes. Okay, but it started with Bartman. All of a sudden became an unlikable team.
Agreed.
At that time. So
it's funny to me that people are critical of that guy. He's taken the only man to ever take five franchises to the postseason. That guy knows what he's doing.
Absolutely. So,
and he's a good dude.
Yeah. So definitely a shot to that. All right, Shay?
All right, I have one question very quickly, and this is a quickie. I want to go back to what we mentioned last segment. Every member of the radio station at Carmen's event last night, Bourbon and Bacon, got a VIP wristband except for Chris Black. So my question for you two, shot or no shot? This is a shot across the bow from Carmen.
Wow.
That's a shot. Everybody gets one except Black? I thought that was very odd last night. Got mine.
I'm going to say no shot because Carmen is a sweetheart of a fella, and there is no way he would intentionally slight Christopher Black. No shot. That Carm's better than that.
Shot. Carm would do it just for the rib. just for the laughs.
Maybe.
It's a great bit. If Carm did it just for that reason, it's a great bit.
Hey, listen, between now and 9 o'clock, you have a chance to be able to get a Hawthorne Racecourse 4-pack valued at $250, $100 in food and beverage credits, $25 in wagering vouchers, live racing programs, Hawthorne-branded items, all part of this hour. So stay by your listening device. Now you can win this hour a Hawthorne Racecourse 4-pack valued at $250. Our picks on the NFL and college football for the weekend. That's next right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to take a look at our college and NFL picks here on Cap and J-Hood. Here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Boy, we got some great games, as always, in college and pro.
Cap is a leader here with 35 and 37, followed by Shea at 34 and 38. Charlie and Shea with the same record. And who did my picks last week?
Connor McKnight.
That's why I'm 30 and 42, lagging behind. I got some work to do.
I think
he went really risky trying to get you a first place climb. It went the opposite way.
Yeah, didn't go well for you.
I should have been briefed and sent the picks.
That's what happens when you follow analytics, Connor. Not going to work out well for you.
The XFIP didn't work with the NFL and college picks.
It did not.
Okay. I mean, next time, and this is for Cap 2 when Cap's out, just send us the picks. We'll make our own.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's 30 and 42.
Yeah, just send them over. We're not going to deal with, well, this guy on a Tuesday when he eats broccoli is hitting 274, so play him. No.
Well, Connor, he went opposite of analytics. I think he picked some of these games because it's like his brother-in-law went to that school.
Oh, my God. All right.
Pick Michigan State to make Shea feel better.
Yeah, he did. He said he wants to be my friend, so he picked Michigan State. However, that was a win.
Okay.
I can't wait to watch Clemson at Notre Dame.
All right.
I hope Dabo rolls him.
Well, let's kick this sucker off, huh? Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers will roll into South Bend and take on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Clemson, a 3.5-point favorite. I'm taking the Irish, and you can keep the points. They are winning outright.
God.
Well, here's the thing. Who's the quarterback? Is it Ungalalele? Will he start?
Who's that? Supposedly, Uyangalele is the guy. I know the
Cade Klubnik.
Yeah, Cade Klubnik. His name was escaping me in the moment. They've Klubnik. Been calling for him.
Isn't he in the Odd Couple?
That's Klugman.
Oh, sorry.
it's Klugman. Never mind. Go ahead. I like Clemson to be able to win this game. Boy, it's a game I will not bet, but I'll go Clemson in this one on the road against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
3.5.
I will lay the 3.5. Get it done, Dabo!
Charlie?
Yeah, beat their ass.
The elite players in this game are going to be on the side of Clemson. I'm taking Clemson here to cover.
All right, Shay.
Number 6, Alabama lays a lot of lumber. 13.5 points as they go into Death Valley to take on Brian Kelly and LSU.
I'm here with my family.
Thank you, Brian.
Get out of there, Kelly.
Death Valley's a tough place to play at night, man. Give me LSU.
LSU all the way. Alabama will win the game, okay? Alabama's going to win the game. But it's going to be closer than 13.5, I believe.
Alabama wins by 20 or more. Lay the lumber of 13.5 all over Saban.
Charlie?
Take that, Abdallah.
This is my favorite game of every college football season. I'm taking the points here. Death Valley at home. I mean, that's a lot of points. I don't think LSU is going to win this, but I'm taking the points here.
What's the total, you know?
Not off the top of my head. I can check.
Probably a lot.
Probably a lot.
Is there value in the over?
It's two terrible defenses. Probably, yeah. If you're going to bet the total, I would probably only bet the over unless you want to be really contrarian, which sometimes works.
All right. What's next?
Number 1, Tennessee, heading to Athens to take on the Fighting Jonathan Hoods. Number 3, Georgia, laying 8. And this spread, it's not big enough. Give me the Bulldogs.
Well, this is something Cap knows. I don't bet on my team. I always give Cap advice on my team, but
he does.
But I do not bet on my team. So I'm going to take Georgia because I'm a fan. I would say, Cap, that probably take the under in this. But I would say Georgia because that's my team.
Georgia wins the football game. I had been back and forth on this after doing some reading. Getting my guy back hoodie. Georgia wins by 14. Give me Georgia.
I'm going to fade the public here. My cousin, I was told it's like 97% of the money is on Tennessee or something like that.
Correct.
So I'm just going to fade the public here and take Georgia.
Let's go on to the Shield. Bills minus 11.5 in New Jersey, taking on the New York Jets. Buffalo.
Now, Buffalo by 2 touchdowns. Cap?
Buffalo covers handily. Give me Buffalo.
They're going to be circling wagons around Zach Wilson in this game. I'm taking Buffalo.
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
That's exactly right, especially this year.
Very good.
3 minutes. Just give me the highlights that you've seen, you know, 100 times online. Monday Night Football.
Uncanny. It's like Chris Berman's really across from me.
It is. Wait till Francesa comes by. They're friends.
All right, we'll see. Yeah.
The Chargers head to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Chargers laying 3. Everybody thinks the Falcons are, you know, a little bit better than expected. I think they play in a horrible division and they're overrated. Chargers -3.
You know what? Give me the Falcons. Give me the Falcons in a closer game, closer than the experts think.
That's a truly awful pick. Give me the Chargers.
Yeah, give me the Falcons because it's the National Football League, Cap. You just never know. As bad as the defense is, definitely going to bet in that game, the over in that one.
Yeah, this one's tough. I'm just going to take the Chargers, but I don't feel great about it. But I like Justin Herbert a lot. Give me that. I kind of think the Falcons are a little overrated.
All right.
The Colts and Sam Ehlinger head to New England to take on the Patriots. New England is a 5.5-point favorite. If Matt Ryan were playing, maybe I'd be a little more concerned. But the Colts blow. Give me the Patriots.
Of the Patriots and the 5.5 against the Colts. And the Patriots turned things around. They beat the Jets on Sunday, last Sunday, right?
They did, in New York.
Mm-hmm. So I think the Patriots continue to roll. They will win this game outright.
I actually am going to go against you. The Colts may not win the game. They will play it right down to the wire. Give me the 5.5.
Yeah, hey, remember when the Colts played, when the Patriots played a Russian quarterback and it looked like they'd never seen one before? That's kind of what Ehlinger does. I'm going to take the Colts to cover here.
Who is that Russian quarterback? Is that Gorbachev?
Mr. Justin Fields.
Putin. Was it? Was it Putin? You said rushing or Russian?
Rushing.
Okay. I was just going to say, which Russian are you talking
Brezhnev.
About?
Gorbachev could really spin it with the best of them, man.
All right.
Seahawks heading to Arizona in the desert, taking on the Cardinals. Cardinals a 2-point favorite. I think if you wanted to get on the Seahawks train, you should have done it the last few weeks. The wheels are coming off. Give me Arizona -2.
I like the Seahawks. Boy, what a tight spread there. But I like the Seahawks to win outright against the Cardinals in a wild game. Is that a 325 game? It has to be because it's in Arizona.
It's a 325.
That sounds like, to me, Cap, that's going to be a wild game. Love the over in that one.
It's a 305, actually. Give me the Seahawks to win the football game outright.
Yeah, I think there's some more DLC coming out from Call of Duty, so I'm going to take the Seahawks here. -2 or +2, give me the Seahawks.
It's downloadable
That come out, Call of Duty?
Last weekend.
I don't think after the game?
No, before. It was October 28th was the release date.
Got it.
Still playing it.
Might be a double XP weekend this weekend.
Carpal tunnel is probably an issue by this point. Yeah, definitely going to
Seahawks. Well, it is for me, so I imagine it is for Kyler as well.
The Seahawks-Cardinals, you said 305 game? Is that what you said?
The 305.
305 game?
Yes, sir.
Will the shadows be an issue for the 305 game at Wrigley?
Yeah, exactly.
The shadows.
Vikings 3.5-point favorites as they go to FedEx Field to take on the Washington Commanders. Washington Commanders a little hot right now. Watch out. I'm taking Washington.
I'm going to take the Vikings. And again, you're right. The Commanders are the kind of the hot pick, fashionable right now. But it's the NFL. I just think the Vikings will be able to take care of this game.
Give me the 3.5. Commanders playing really good football. Give me the Commanders.
The Vikings are the least interesting 6-1 team I could possibly think of. I'm going to take the Commanders here, too.
So true.
Packers, 3.5-point favorites on the road in Detroit, taking on the Lions. Everybody is on these home underdogs this week. I am on none of them. Give me the Pack.
I had the Packers, too, Cap, because the Lions are going to lose this game. They'll be 1-7. What happened to the P&V of Dan Campbell? The piss and vinegar of what happened there. He didn't have the same roar as he once did.
Lions win the game outright. I'll take the 3.5. And let me just tell you, yes, they are struggling. No question about it. They are going to beat Green Bay. I hope that the Bears don't get into a difficult situation with the Lions. they are going to get on a bit of a run here. They'll lose to Buffalo, but they got some winnable football games. Lions are going to have a pretty solid second half of the season, but they will beat the Vikings.
The Packers.
I think in this beautiful matchup of garbage fires right now, I think the less on fire team is Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Green Bay here. Lions are just a mess.
Say.
Final game on the slate. Dolphins heading to Soldier Field. 5-point favorites in our picks. And unfortunately, I am taking the Miami Dolphins.
Bears. I hate the Bears. Their momentum, what they had offensively. I guess before I say that, Cap, here's the question. The offense that the Bears had against the Cowboys, is that enough to beat the Dolphins? It's 29 points?
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, really?
Not sure.
You need more than 29 to beat the Dolphins?
You might.
Holy bleep. I'll stick with the Bears. I know what's going to happen. The Dolphins are going to win the game. But my God, you need more than 29 against them? That's tough.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears to cover the number of 5, but I don't think they win the football game.
Charlie?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dolphins here. There's so much firepower they have, and I just don't think the Bears can keep up.
Gonna ask Tracy coming up at 9:50 if it's a sloppy track.
Supposed to be nice. I think the weather's supposed to be cooperative. That's not good for us.
We only play well in the rain.
It's been a little too warm lately.
It's been too warm.
It has not been too warm.
Dude, I have radiator heat. They turn my boiler on, and then the building controls it. I'm like sweating my ass off every time I'm sitting in the house. It's been too hot.
November 4th, it's too hot. It's in the 70s. Cap! I brought you warm weather from Austin, Texas.
It's just the weather's been very, very nice. I know it's a respite from what's coming.
It's awesome.
But anyone that says fall is just, oh, the fall's the best. You're insane. Shay. Oh, we need a break.
Well, your coffee's arrived, by the way. It's right behind you.
Oh, Merkin, you're the greatest.
Yeah. So Merk has brought your coffee. So... there you go. There you go. There you go.
So good.
Isn't that great? Someone handing you coffee. Isn't that great? Because your wife's out of town.
A cold brew.
Yeah. Good for you. Courtney Cronin previews the Bears and Dolphins. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Cap and J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Captain Jay Hood, mornings 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget this hour, we'll hook you up with an opportunity for you to get yourself a Hawthorne Racecourse 4-pack. When you hear the horse go across our studio, make sure that you are caller number 2, regular line 312-332-3776. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Captain Jay Hood, mornings 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. Courtney Cronin covers the Bears like a blanket for ESPN.com. She joins us here on ESPN 1000. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning. How was your trip? I want to hear all about the Indiana Dunes.
You never been?
No, never. Like I know that it's kind of shocking because I'm so close to it and I grew up so close to it, but I've never been. So how was it?
It was really good. I mean, you talk about Lone Star beer for number one, 75 degrees. It was just amazing. It really was. I mean, you talk about the bars, the restaurants. Went to Vince Young Steakhouse. You know, it's the steakhouse of the Dunes.
Right.
Yeah. So just it was outstanding.
Okay. And, maybe this is my bye week destination.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime that you want to go to Austin, Texas, in the Indiana Dunes, it'd be awesome. That's the spot to go.
See, I knew there had to be some caveat there, but I mean, that was a great cover. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, because it's my partner, he'll always say where I'm. I don't need him to tell me. He doesn't need to know. You know, as far as he knew, I was in Nashville, New Hampshire. You know, so. But
I looked out for you.
Yeah, so I appreciate that cover. That's for sure. So here we are. Last time we spoke, Courtney, we were talking about the Bears and wondering what the direction is. I guess the big question that's on my mind to ask you is, because of Claypool being here and the other things that Ryan Poles has done, does this cement that Justin Fields is the guy for this organization?
I mean, they're getting closer to that answer. And don't think for a second the last 2 weeks of Fields play, then New England, and then again, you know, 29 points in Dallas for a really good game for him, highest passer rating of his career. Like, all of that played into, hey, maybe we should try to invest in the quarterback and do it now before the pickings become really slim. Because I think Ryan Poles is, you know, in his forecasting ahead, he sees what everybody else sees about this 2023 free agent class, that it's not very good. I mean, there's a couple names in there, but if you have a group that's highlighted by DJ Chark, Alan Lazard, Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, like, that's, it's an okay group, but that's not a group you're going to overpay for with your, you know, eons of salary cap money that you have to spend, especially when there's so many needs, pass rusher, offensive line. And we're not even talking about, like, where we'd be looking at this team and what they'd be doing at the draft. So I think that Poles saw a window where he's at right now to go ahead and get something done. Like, go ahead and give the Bears an opportunity to, like, get a better evaluation on Justin Fields as it stands right now, because you have 9 more games, and you don't want to waste those 9 games knowing that you could have done something and you didn't. So, I mean, I think the sense of urgency you saw from Poles is that that pick that they sent to Pittsburgh in exchange for Chase Claypool was their own second rounder. So that's probably a top 40 pick. So a little bit of an overpay for a mid-tier wide receiver, but it gives you an element, gives Justin Fields an element he doesn't currently have. So I think that that's something that, you know, the next couple games, like, in we can talk about how quickly Chase Claypool can get up to speed. I think it's going to probably be like week 11 by the time we can actually judge that connection between those two. But it was a good move in the sense that it shows, hey, we think Fields is our guy, at least. I don't know if they want to completely cement themselves to it, and they never promised that they were going to go and get him help, but they did what they should have done back in April, May, the time of the draft, even before then, in free agency. Might be a little too late for some people, but they can't. You can't say they didn't do anything for him, because this is a move that reflects that.
So, Courtney, I watched some of the Dolphins on tape. I've watched, obviously, every snap of the Bears enough that I could, you know, puke. I've seen it so much. Do you think that this is a competitive football game? Because Miami does struggle in pass defense. I do think Raheem Mostert's going to get a lot of carries with Edmonds not playing in Denver till they get Jeff Wilson up to speed. So how does this game play out in your mind?
I think it's probably going to be more of a shootout than most people would expect. The Bears and the Dolphins, yes, I know, going toe-for-toe here, but this Bears defense gave up 49 points last week, and that's with Roquan Smith on the field. Now that you don't have him, you don't have Quinn, and this is a young group, I think that they're going to take advantage of that. And I'm really curious to see, because we talked to Jalen Johnson the other day, like, will he be shadowing Tyreek Hill? Are the Bears going to go back to that formula, the one that they used? You know, that's kind of what came out of the mini bye. We saw a little bit of that of Jalen Johnson in New England. Like, but that's still a lot. You have two. It's the pick your poison with those two. Like, who do you contain? So I think that the way that the Bears have been playing, which I know is a little shocking to talk, to think of them as some offensive juggernaut, but, like, they scored 33 points and 29 points on the road in back-to-back games. That's impressive. So, like, my pick, I mean, I'm picking the Dolphins in this one, but I think that they're going to end up being a pretty high-scoring game. If I had to give you a pick right now, it'd probably be, like, 33-27 Dolphins, but the Bears they've shown you that within what they're doing right now, trusting Justin Fields to throw the ball more and putting him in situations where he's able to do that, that you can get a more high scoring game from this offense than you did weeks 1-6.
I want to ask you about the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel. It's his quote about Tua Tagovailoa at the beginning. He was talking about he's the greatest. Is he the greatest thrower of the football that has the best spin he's ever seen? He's somewhat quirky, but there's an analytic side to him. He's going for it on fourth down, fourth and three, and sometimes it doesn't work. I mean, he's definitely into the numbers analytics. I just want to know your thoughts on the state of the Dolphins here with Tua, the weapons that they have. And I mentioned the cap. I said, you know, this might be the new wave of the NFL in which And if you feel like you're close, you're going to go for it. Like, I mean, instead of dealing with draft picks, if you feel like you can improve your running game, you'll do that. So what your overall thoughts on the Dolphins coming in here Sunday?
Well, I mean, I'll say what most people have probably said. I think the Bradley Chubb was an overpay. Like, they already had a really good defense, and you have somebody who's going to, you know, what, 3.5 sacks through where we're at in week nine right now. He's had a good year so far, but it's not going to be like he, I don't know. I thought that was an aggressive overpay for a group that, you know, they don't have a lot of first round picks in the next couple of years for a number of different reasons. So how does that pan out? I like Mike McDaniel. I like hearing him talk. I think that, you know, the one thing that if they don't win this season, I mean, they're in a good spot to get a wild card in the AFC East. Like, there's no question that Buffalo is going to win that division, and the Dolphins will probably be second. But, you know, I was skeptical about him during the Tua concussion issue and, like, just how that whole thing was handled. It feels like just the last couple of weeks, though, since he was, you know, since he returned and since they've been winning games, that hasn't been – no one's looking at Mike McDaniel sideways anymore, wondering, did you know, was this negligent, all of that. But he took over a team, you know, a young group, effectively, and they added a lot of pieces. They had such a, like, you know, prolific offseason, and they didn't stop there. Like, what they did in the draft, and then certainly up until the trade deadline with Jeff Wilson coming in at running back and then Bradley Chubb, like, they're showing that they're going all in for this year. And I feel like you're right, that kind of is the trend with teams lately, where if they see one window, even if it's for 1 year, and it might be hedging certain future picks and, you know, short-term deals, and I know that Chubb did end up getting the extension, which is what I thought was an overpay, like, their teams are willing to do that now. I think teams are more aggressive because they're seeing the parity in the NFL, where there are a lot of teams that have losing records still, and we're entering week 9 of the season, and what separates the great teams from the good teams, that margin is very thin right now, and they want to be on the other side of that.
Courtney, have a wonderful rest of your day, and get ready for some fireworks on the lakefront, because I think the weather's going to be cooperative. We have Tracy in an hour, and I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored.
Yeah, no, it should be good. And I don't know if it's a good thing if they're going to be playing in a nice weather game, because I feel like at least the games at Soldier Field outside of the Houston one have been, you know, windy, rainy. They played in that fog game in Foxborough a few weeks ago. So maybe they prefer that. I'm not so sure. But I won't complain about the weather. I'll be happy if it's 65 degrees.
I think we all will be happy with that. Absolutely. Courtney, we're glad you spent some time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
It is Courtney Cronin, covers the Bears for ESPN.com.
Brought to you by Wintrust Chicago's Bank.
All right, still to come, we will get our thoughts about Kyrie Irving. It's the first time Cap and I will talk on the air about Kyrie Irving, the latest on him coming up in a half hour. But next, we do have our picks for the Big Ten.
The Pick'em Challenge against Black and Abdallah.
All right, we'll get to that coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports. Here we go.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
On ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. But to remind you, coming up, it will be Mike Greenberg at 10, the Carmen and Yurko at noon, then Waddle and Sylvie will be broadcasting live from Shoeless Joe's Ale House in Addison from 2 to 6, Black and Abdallah 6 to 8. And speaking of the guys, Chicago's College Tailgate and Peggy and Dion will be live from Benny's in Lincoln Park. We were there last night on Marcy Street from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You got no excuse. If you're in the area, stop by Benny's Lincoln Park, see College Tailgate, and then see Peggy and Dion. They'll be there 9 to 1 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Now we turn to the Big Ten Pick'em Challenge, Cap, brought to you by Core Hydration. Cap and Jay Hood, Black and Abdallah, we will pick the winner of every Big Ten game through November 19th. You can choose the show, which show you want to align with, at ESPNChicagoContest.com. So we got to be able to get on this, right? People got to choose us.
So you pick one or the other, and we were doing it without the spread.
Uh-huh.
And some of the games, you know, it's like, okay, I love Fitz, but Ohio State, Northwestern, there's Clemson people walking down the street, beat Notre Dame's ass. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
Jeez.
you know, Notre Dame, I mean, Northwestern, Ohio State, well, we're both going to pick Ohio State without the spread.
Right.
Do you know what the spread on that game is? 38.5 mm-hmm. at Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
38.5
Sad days for Dave Ennett.
Holy smokes.
And the Wildcats with a field goal, and it's 38-3 What?
I love you, Mr. Cat. You better gargle for this weekend. Holy smokes.
And I'm listening. I'll be listening to Ennett like, they might have a chance here.
Right.
He keeps me locked in.
He does, because he'll give you, you know, they'll get a touchdown. And you'll hear, touchdown, Wildcats. And I'm thinking, right in a ball game. 47-7 Like, wow, things are a little rough in Catland right now.
Ted Albrecht, things are turning around. The Wildcats with a field goal, and it's 44-10 Pardon me? We have some momentum.
Right, so we've gone to the spreads to see if we could differentiate ourselves from the two dudes from Libertyville. So let's rock and roll.
Okay, an opportunity for you to get a trip for two to go to the 2022 Big Ten Championship in Indianapolis. Two tickets to the game, a two-night stay at the JW Marriott. Check in on November 2nd and check out on December 4th and invite the two private Dr. Pepper events, the welcome party at the JW Marriott. That's really cool. All right, so Iowa at Purdue. So we got to do this as a show. Shay, I mean, I like Purdue. What do you think?
It's November. Typically, I lean towards Purdue. But in this case, I mean, Iowa flashed a little bit of offense last week. They were playing Northwestern. In this case, I kind of think we go back to Iowa can't score in a morgue. Maybe you just go with Purdue.
Iowa can't what?
Can't score in a morgue.
I've never heard that term. I don't get the analogy, but that's okay.
I think you can figure it out if you use your imagination a little bit.
You'd rather probably say couldn't score with a fistful of hundreds in a whorehouse. That might be a better one. Anyway.
It's still the same thing. Would you just go ahead? We got 90 seconds to get through this stuff. Come on.
Give me the line again.
3.5 I like Purdue. I
mean, and it's at Purdue?
Yeah, I can't score. So I like Purdue.
Give me Purdue. I'm with you.
Maryland at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a 5-point favorite. Yeah.
Too bad.
This game.
It's getting tricky now, though.
And by the way, you can be with us at ESPN 1000. The Wisconsin-Maryland watch party will be at Lottie's Pub from 11 to 1. If you're in around the area, go to see our group on Saturday from 11 to 1.
Hold on. Call me Connor. I'm going to my analytics site.
Wisconsin's going to cover five.
What time is that game?
It smells like 11 a.m.
Yeah, it smells like an 11 a.m. game.
How about during college game day, Shay? That sounds like 10:45.
It is an 11 a.m. game.
I was telling that to John Shipman at TV yesterday. He's going to the Michigan-Illinois game at Michigan. He goes, we don't know the time yet. I said, well, don't gag against Purdue and whoever else they've got, Michigan State, and you won't be at 11 a.m. You'll be at 2:30 or a night game.
Yeah.
The Purdue game, Purdue for sure on the analytics site.
Wisconsin. Minnesota is 16-point favorite against Nebraska, at Nebraska. I like the Gophers. Actually, I don't like the game. This is the Big Ten, but...
Wow.
What do you think, Shay? Gophers?
16's a lot of points to lay.
That's a lot. I like Minnesota to win.
But Nebraska's horrid. I'd probably go Minnesota.
Is that a night game?
Would you come on?
Well, it depends.
11 a.m.
Huh?
11 a.m.
Come on,
night
Cap.
Games, there's more of a festive atmosphere.
It's a Big Ten. Nobody. I mean, come on now. Let's not do that. All right, so we're going Minnesota. All right, next. Ohio State, as you mentioned, 38-point favorite against Northwestern in Evanston.
Hold on. Take Nebraska, please. Take Nebraska.
All right.
Okay.
Take that.
Too many points.
Ohio State, Northwestern.
Oh, God. Right. The spread's 38.5 or 38?
38. The hook doesn't matter in that spot.
It better not.
Okay, so don't
take the points.
Keep your feelings out of it.
Take the points.
You like the Cats?
Take the points.
Holy.
It's too many.
Shay?
I would go Ohio State or nothing. I can't.
Stop it.
Can't lay 38.
You can.
You'll still get your free tickets. It's okay if you just take Ohio State this one time.
I'm with you, Fitz.
Go Cats. Michigan State at Illinois. I like Michigan State to keep it close.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Shay, your heart?
A lot of suspended players if you're going with Michigan State. 7 of them.
Starters?
Some of them.
Does it matter?
I like Illinois to win the game. I'm going to take Michigan State.
It's plus 17, right?
Yeah.
Take the points.
Okay. Penn State against Indiana. Penn State's a 14-point favorite.
Lay them.
At Indiana.
Don't you think?
Penn State's got, I mean, their two touchdowns better than Indiana.
Shay?
I think Indiana's really bad. I'd probably lean Penn State, but I don't feel good about it.
Lay them.
Okay, lay the points there. Michigan against Rutgers. Michigan's a 26.5-point favorite in Piscataway.
Lay them.
I might take Rutgers, just struggled so badly in the red zone this year.
Fair. They'll win the game by 22.
You guys call it.
Yeah. I would say Rutgers in that spot.
All right.
All right, those are our picks for an opportunity for you to go to Indianapolis to see the Big Ten championship game. Coming up next, we talk about the Bears. The Bears are getting ready to take on the Dolphins. The thoughts from Luke Getsy coming up in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.